Today we want to look at this thought. There are qualities that will make us productive and effective and will keep us from failure. I'm going to hang on there just a minute, see if I can get an amen. There are qualities that will make us productive and effective and will keep us from failure. Who believes that? Did you know that's in the Bible? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Verse 8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, you can never just stay where you are. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? In your personal, intimate revelation knowledge of Christ. That the revelation knowledge of Christ is where faith comes from, is when the Lord reveals His Scripture to you and quickens it to your heart and reveals things to you and tells you things. When you get in that place, man, you can really walk in victory. And all of these things will hinder your life if they're not in place, all seven of them. Therefore, verse 10, therefore, my brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. Look at all the Christians that fall. They get into trouble, into serious sin, and their families are split up. They lose their jobs. Born-again believers, many spirit-filled, in trouble. Why? We may want to listen to this today. You see, this passage depicts Christian character. God expects us to add moral excellence to our lives and not just keep living like a sinner. Can you say amen? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. What does goodness mean there in the Greek? It means moral excellence. Live so you behave properly as a born-again believer. Colossians 3, 5, it says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Wonder what that means. Well, it tells you. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, such as idolatry, craving things more than you crave God, loving TV more than you love the Bible. Hello. Got to be careful not to get too personal, because, you know, I live too, and I do things sometimes, but we need to know the word. Can you say amen? Verse 8, you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, out of control anger. Being angry sometimes can be a good thing. It can get you going, get you doing something. Can you say amen? Anger against the devil and his demonized people, poison the mind of our kids, these secular humanists. It's okay to be angry with them as long as you love them enough to pray they'll get saved. Can you say amen? Anger, rage, malice, slander. You know, a lot of Christians, boy, adultery is wrong, homosexuality is wrong, but slander's okay. Hey, well, it's not. It's not okay. And filthy language from your lips. Remove those things. Verse 9, do not lie to each other. I've had people who claim to be born-again, spirit-filled Christians stand and tell me about how they told a lie and they're laughing and bragging about lying to their preacher. That does not impress a real preacher, can you say? Amen. Romans 8:13, it says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. What's so hard to understand about that? If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. That explains why a lot of people can't change their lives. They're not depending on the Holy Spirit to change them and transform them. They're trying to do it with human effort. We need to pray until God helps us with things we want to be rid of. Can you say amen? For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. You see, this is not optional. We must mortify every deed of the body that is not pleasing to the Lord. That is, if we want to walk in victory and be healed and delivered and have the miracle power of God in our life, we need to work to clean ourselves up with the help of the Holy Spirit, and only with the help of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, it says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. We have great promises, but God expects us by the power of the Holy Spirit to stop lying. He said, amen. And to stop committing adultery and start lusting at people of whatever sex. You got to just ask God to help you put those things down. There's no perfect people, but the Holy Spirit can help us all. We must cleanse ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit and live blamelessly before the Lord, and even blamelessly as much as possible before people. We must live above reproach. This is sanctification, asking the Lord to help us to live so that it doesn't offend other people, especially those who are not saved. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, prove yourselves to be blameless. That's a tall order. And I'm not trying to pretend I can set an example for that, but I can preach it for all of us. You say amen. Prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Spells it out. God wants his people to stand out as different. But today, the world wants you to force every one of us into their mold. And if we stand up and say, no, this is sin, I'm not going to do it, they'll attack you and call you names, call you bigot and everything else because you believe the Bible. Well, let them call whatever they want to call. My God's going to deal with them if they mess with me. Can you say amen? They that strive with thee shall perish. Better leave me alone. And I'm telling you something else, Mr. Secular Humanist. If someone's watching or listening, let me tell you something. You better leave God's people alone because God will smack you good. Yes, thine enemies that rise up against you shall be smitten before thy face. Amen. Deuteronomy 28. I happen to believe that. If you want a good slap upside the head, just mess with God's people. And I'm not talking about just the preachers. I'm talking about God's people. Period. Philippians 2:15, prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. The problem is a lot of Christians have problems because they're not living godly. Well, I wonder why God let this happen. Well, maybe he didn't let it happen. Maybe you caused it by your big mouth and slandering and doing things you shouldn't be doing. Hello? Yeah, me too. I mean, we all got to watch ourselves. I'm born again. I'm new creation in Christ. But my flesh still likes stuff it shouldn't like. Can you say amen? And I have to shut it down. I have to beat me up more than you do. You see, God expects us to increase in our knowledge of Jesus Christ and his word. And it's more than just a physical knowledge. Logos, knowledge of the word, we need to have it in us, revelation knowledge, so that it's really faith. It's in us and we can believe it and act on it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, moral excellence, and to goodness, moral excellence, add knowledge. If you want to walk in victory, you've got to hear from God. And as you read the Word of God and fast and pray and meditate on it, he'll begin to give you revelation knowledge and quicken that scripture to your heart so it's no longer up here, it's here, and you can act on it. We must continue to grow in the knowledge of God. That's why you need to be in a church like this. You might find a church that has a better program, but you won't find a church that preaches the Word of God more effectively and more fully. Can you say amen? Amen. And that's not bragging or complaining. I have no choice but to study the Word of God. Now, I've been preaching on fasting and praying, and loved every minute of it. And so I knew that God had told me to do it, and I was going to do it no matter what. Can you say amen? And if it didn't help you, it sure helped me. So just praise God somebody got helped. You say amen. And then I was praying, now what? And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Seemed like I wasn't getting anywhere. And about Thursday, this verse popped into my mind. And then as I got closer to today, I realized that this is what God really wanted me to preach on. He really gave this to me. And you can say, well, I wished I had something else. Well, just remember the Bible says in latter days, people want something that tickle their ears. You don't need something that tickles your ears. You need something that enables you to go out of this room and walk in victory today, tomorrow, and next week, and on. This should do it. I dare you to read this passage every day and ask God to give you revelation on this passage. Now, how long will that take you? Well, I don't have time. You do. You do have time to do that. Make time. You take time to eat. Well, when you're eating lunch, meditate on the Word of God. Make a deal with God. Feed my body and I'll feed my spirit. Can you say amen? Make every effort to add to your faith goodness and to goodness add knowledge. We must continue to grow in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1:9. We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. Filled with the knowledge of His will. Oh, if I just knew what to do. Just like I prayed day and night until God showed me what to preach on. You can pray and seek God for what He wants you to do on Monday morning. Or whenever you go to work. He can give you wisdom and insight that will make all the difference in the world. Well, let's talk about just the knowledge of God. No, you live in this world. He's given you something to do, even if it's a plumber or a teacher or a lawyer, whatever it is. Not necessarily a preacher, but whatever God has called you to do, He wants to enable you to do it and teach you how to do it. And it will cause you to be more successful than anyone else, because probably no one else at your workplace is really trusting God to take them to that level, so you'll get ahead of them. But we got people in the church proving that every day. God really can give you knowledge beyond anything you thought possible. Remember, Jesus Christ was a carpenter. He knows how to fix your house. We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Knowledge of His will enables us to be effective and productive in life. It says if you add these things, you'll be effective and productive, and you'll not fail at whatever you're doing. Y'all see how this applies to everything? One person. Well, that's better than none. Verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and increase in the knowledge of God. You'll walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord if you'll spend more time in the Word and allowing Him to talk to you about His Word. The Holy Spirit is the teacher, but He uses His textbook, the Bible. And increases in the knowledge of God. You see, we must increase in the knowledge of God and His Word. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. And the only place to get true wisdom and knowledge is from God and His Word. The devil's a deceiver. You must get into the Word of God. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge. Grow in the provisions and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:2 and verse 3. Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in whom, in Jesus Christ, are all are hidden all the treasures and wisdom of knowledge. You say hidden. Yes, that's why you got to spend time in his presence, so he'll reveal it to you. The things you need to know to be successful as a carpenter or whatever you do. Can you say amen? We're to go. And a carpenter, no matter what you do, you still have to have favor with people. And God will give you favor with people. You see, we are to grow in Jesus Christ because in him is all wisdom and knowledge. Number three, God expects us to live self-controlled lives. You can't just get mad and throw fits. You got to be able to control yourself. You say, amen. It will get you fired if you can't control yourself. 2 Peter 1:5, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, virtue, moral excellence, and to goodness, knowledge, revelation, knowledge, so you know more than just is written on the page. God reveal you reveal things to you. And to knowledge, add self-control. I don't care who you are, if you let yourself get out of self-control, you can destroy yourself. I don't care how many degrees you have from how many universities, an out-of-control person can and probably will destroy themselves. 1 Corinthians 5:29. Now remember, I'm not preaching this to perfect people. I'm preaching to you and me so that we will have a goal to set for ourselves. And if you'll meditate on this enough, it'll start getting in you and the Word of God will start changing you. How do I know that? That's the way I do it myself. 1 Corinthians 5:25, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. And a lot of you folks love football. And I'm telling you right now, if those people didn't really have self-control, you wouldn't like football. But they have to control themselves and make themselves do the work. And get out there and practice and get themselves beat up every day so you'll like them. We need to be as interested in being in good shape and controlling ourselves as much as football players. Can you say amen? Because our calling is life, and we got to live life, and if we're going to live life and live godly, we have to bring the flesh under control. Self-control is the key to being a winner. We must keep ourselves under control. Verse 27, but I discipline my body, this is St. Paul, I discipline my body and make it my slave. How many of you know a lot of Christians, flesh is their master. It's supposed to be the other way around. I don't want to offend anybody, but if we'll control our mouths, we'll have more success in losing weight. Can you say amen? I never had a problem with any weight at all until I've begun to get a little older. And if I start gaining too much weight, there's certain things I tell myself, you're not going to eat because that'll make you fat. And it's called self-control. And here I'm not meddling anybody else's business. But self-control goes a long way and helps a lot of things. And it's not easy. It's not easy. But if you fast 110 days a year, yay. That helps you to control your flesh. If nothing else, can you say amen? If you can look yourself in the mirror and say you're not going to eat today, you're on your way to a little bit of self-control. I expected a big amen on that, but I didn't get it. Verse 27, but I discipline my body and make it my slave. Whew. I'm not there, but that's my goal. So that after I have preached to others, myself, I will not be disqualified. How many ministers you know that got disqualified because of a lack of self-control? And not just preachers, but members and leaders in the church. Not this church necessarily, but churches. Many preachers have been disqualified for a lack of self-control, because of a lack of self-control. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Verse 12, it teaches us to say, no! Can you say amen? Amen. You walk by that refrigerator and you hear that thing talking to you. You say, no! And the Bible says, make no provision for the flesh. If you eat too much cheese, just buy a little pack. Can you say amen? verse 12, it teaches us to say no, and it does say to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-control, upright and godly lives in this present age. God expects us to say no to the devil and live self-controlled lives. Yes, God will help us to control ourselves, even our appetites, and even control our mouths. Can you say amen? He can help us control what we eat. And I found out on the farm, you can eat all the green beans you want as long as you don't put a lot of lard and fat in it. Somebody say amen. It's got, well, I don't like green beans, but then learn to like them. What's that? Hammock? Where in the world are you from? The South. Okay. Me too. Self-control equals success in life. Read that again. Self-control equals success in life. Live good, disciplined lives. Good, disciplined lives. God expects us to persevere through the toughest of times. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, and to self-control add perseverance, endurance. There comes a time you usually got to say, I'm hanging in here. I'm not quitting. I am not giving up. Even on myself. I keep doing this dumb thing over and over, but I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep fighting, you devil. I'm going to keep fighting this flesh till I win. If I'm going to do it on my own, I'm going to spend time in prayer, meditating on the Word, and believe God to help me. Amen. I'm through trying to do everything on my own. Matthew 10:22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But, you know, we're really surprised today that people are really hating us. Hey, it's really no surprise at all. It's written right here in the Bible. And I don't care what your color is, or your race, or creed, or code, or anything else. If you believe in living by the Bible, these people out here today hate you. And if you open your mouth, they're going to attack you. And you just got to know that that's the way it is, and you're not going to give up. You're going to keep believing the truth, living the truth, and speaking it in a good, godly, loving way. Speak the truth in love. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved, rescued, delivered. You see, we cannot give up when things get tough. You got to add that perseverance. No quitting, do you hear me? No quitting. The devil doesn't win until you quit. Hebrews 10:35, so do not throw away your confidence. Do not give up on your faith. Well, my faith is not working. Well, if you could see faith working, it wouldn't be faith. You got to believe it anyway, whether it appears to be working or not. So do not throw away your confidence, that faith that the Lord has dropped in your heart. It will be richly rewarded. Verse 36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. If you quit, you won't receive. I don't quit. That's one good quality I have. I don't quit. I don't give up. Because I know giving up means losing. We must focus on the goal and never quit. Luke 21:19. You look around this church, people are really successful, are bulldogs. They just keep hammering, keep going, keep pushing. Can you say amen? Luke chapter 21, verse 19, by your endurance, you will gain your lives. Whoa, that's a doozy. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. You see, if we are going to make it in life, we must persevere through the hard times, or we'll lose out. A lot of people giving up on a good job just because it was hard or difficult or was some honorary person. Well, I'm just going to quit. Well, I'm not. Let them quit. Can you say amen? Believe God, move them out of the way. I'm not moving. Can you say amen? That has to be your attitude. And if you should get fired, praise God that God's got something better. God is just, this is transition for me, and I'm just assuming that you were doing your best to do right, you know, and then it's just another promotion. God's got something better. You see, there's never a time to give up. Hebrews 12:1. And let us run. I'm talking to somebody. I'm amazed that Christians commit suicide. What is that? That's giving up. And it's a dangerous way to give up. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. What does that mean? God's got a plan for your life. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to bless you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And if you don't know what it is, you need to commit yourself to praying and meditating on the Word and maybe throwing in a little fasting until you know what God's will is, at least the outline, the basic thing. Verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. You see, we must fix our eyes on Jesus and His promise and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. God's called me to be a preacher, and I know it, to be a pastor, and I know it. And so I just trust Him to direct me as I go, but I'm going. Can you say amen? Have you ever made any mistakes? Yeah, I made one. About 30 years ago. Okay. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. You see, we must fix our eyes. I knew what you were thinking. We must fix our eyes on Jesus and His promise and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Do you even know what the marks are? You need to, well, if I teach that class, you need to take that class for sure. Okay. Never quit on what is marked out for you. It is God's will. You see, find God's directive for your life and stick with it. God expects us to be like Him in character and power. Here's a real key. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And to perseverance add godliness. Well, what's that? Well, that's the same thing as goodness. No, it's not. That word goodness in the Greek really means to live a moral life that's really above question as much as possible. Godliness really means to pray until you metamorphose into a man of God, godly character with godly power like Jesus Christ had. Wow. Now you don't get there without getting in the incubator. What's the incubator? The prayer closet, meditating on the Word of God, getting in the presence of God quite a bit every day. That's why I preach the way I do. I'm fasting and praying and meditating on the Word. You don't get here with those first messages I've been preaching on fasting and praying. You can try it. I tried it. Didn't work until I really started praying and meditating on the Word and fasting. And to perseverance at godliness. Godliness is cultivating one's relationship with God, developing piety, godly characteristics, devoutness, and reverence, a high reverence of God. Godliness is becoming like God in character and power. He said, well, you haven't arrived yet. That's why I'm preaching it, to help me. Okay. And believe me, I've prayed through this many times, and this is really one of my prayer patterns. That I pray through this, God help me on each of these things. It's important. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Did anybody get any good out of that prayer pattern I gave out last week? Read through it at least half of it once a day, maybe all of it once a day. Just do it. And pray those scriptures. Ask God for those things in your life. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There it is. Transformed means to be metamorphosed like a caterpillar to a butterfly. Well, I don't know why I hadn't been able to live a more godly life. You're just going to have to get an incubator. You're going to have to get in that prayer closet, spend some time with God every day. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? You meditate on the Word of God until it talks to you and changes you. I didn't believe in healing. But through praying and fasting and meditating on the Word, God gave me Matthew 8, 16 and 17. It changed my mind. It changed how I think about healing. When a devil tries to put something in me, I expect it to be healed because of that scripture. And I don't just say, get out of here, devil. I quote that scripture to him over and over again. And then I tell him what the Lord said to me. The Lord said to me, do you believe I'm here to take the infirmity of your sickness? And I said, yes, devil. I said yes, and I still believe he's here to take it away right now. Get out of here. You've got to use the Word of God like a sword. It is written, you lying devil. I mean, it's okay to get really mean with the devil. You better, because he's going to get mean with you. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When your mind is renewed, then you can prove or demonstrate what the perfect will of God is. You say, we can be more metamorphosed into a mighty man or woman of God by praying and fasting and meditating in the Word. I'm certainly not saying I'm there yet, but I'm trying to get there. You see, then the character and the power of God is revealed through us when we really get revelation ourselves. Many of you believe in healing because it has been revealed to you through me. You've seen, because God, I prayed through and got my mind changed in that area, and it needs to be changed in other areas, no doubt. But you've seen people heal when I pray for them, lay hands on them. You've been healed many times, and you've been convinced of healing because I'm convinced of healing. And that's the way we all, when we get really transformed by the Word of God, other people around us get transformed. Amen. And I'm certainly not saying I'm there yet, but there's a little bit. Philippians 3:10, for my determined purpose is that I may know him and that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, and that I may in that way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. Paul says, I want to intimately know him that I may know the power outflowing from his resurrection. We have power through an intimate relationship and his revelation knowledge that he gives us in prayer. You see, the closer I get to Jesus, the more I know and the more power I have. You can see a greater power in this church through this praying and fasting, and even now it's still here. But it's God working through us because we spent time in his presence and still try to do so. You see, we must live like Jesus lived. Now, God expects us to grow in kindness and compassion toward one another, 2 Peter 1:7. And to godliness, add brotherly kindness. This means brotherly affection. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. You have no right to get mad at somebody and hold a grudge against them. You need to let it go because God let your mess go. You see, we are commanded to be kind, compassionate, and forgiving. Colossians 3:12, therefore, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Add kindness, gentleness, and patience. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. When you come to church, do you come just to get blessed, or do you make an effort to bless other people? I like that pretty shirt. I like your pretty shoes. I really appreciate you. You've been a blessing to me. We need to be a blessing to everyone around us. The Bible says that's one reason he wants us to come together to exhort and encourage one another. So we need to come with other people's interests in mind. And you never know what people are thinking. There could be people in this church right now thinking about ending their life. Let me tell you something. They need love. And you just give them a quick hug and encouraging them and blessing them with some kind words. It may be all they need. Have other people's interests in mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. This church is good at that, by the way. Romans 12, 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. You see, this is a part of the Christian character, is being loving toward God's saints, God's people. Then love. Add love. That word is agape. Agape. Denies self and sacrifices for God and others. Add agape love. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. And to brotherly kindness, add agape. Add agape love. Agape is love by deliberate choice. Agape is volitional, not emotional. You make up your mind you're going to help them. You don't even like them. You're going to help them. Can you say amen? It is the God kind of love, self-giving love. For God so loved the world that he gave. Philippians chapter 2, verse 30. He, Epaphroditus, almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. What does that mean? Paul is saying, he almost died helping me do God's work. That's agape love. He wanted to help Paul so much that he put his own health at risk, working day and night. Romans chapter 16, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, verse 4, who for my life risked their own necks. Do you know that was in the Bible? He says that Priscilla and Aquila risked their own life, for my life, risked their own necks, put their own necks on the line to help me. That's agape. Agape love is risking your neck for the life of someone else. I've done that. And didn't think anything about it. I went to see this guy. They told me he had TB. And the nurse says, if you go in there, you could get it because the masks we have do not protect you from TB, tuberculosis. I said, well, if he doesn't need me now, he'll never need me. And I put on the worthless masks they had and went in, prayed for him. And God healed him. He came back 20 years later. He moved away. Came back 20 years later, just a couple of years ago, to say thank you after 20 years. You don't do things to get thank yous. Can you say amen? 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. This is more than kindness. This is sacrificial love. Verse 17, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? How can he have agape love if he won't give somebody a biscuit? Verse 18, let us not love with words or tongues. There's a lot of Christians really good at that. Oh, I love you. You're so wonderful. And next thing you know, they got a knife for your back. That's not agape love. But let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Agape love is self-giving love. Agape sacrifices for God and others. Agape will speak truth to those who need to hear it. I preach things, people say, well, you better be careful, somebody's going to get mad at you. I said, well, I have to love people enough to tell them the truth. That's agape love. Add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness agape love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they not just stay where you are, but increase in measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your revelation knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, for if you do these things, you will never fall. That's not.